Hello and welcome to the Impact Podcast from us at Impact Wales. We're Finn and Jane and every week we'll be bringing you lots of discussion, comments and opinion on everything research and education. We'll be talking professional learning, what's happening in the education world and everything in between to help you make a difference in your school.
Hello Jane.
Hi Finn. Our microphones might sound a little bit different today because we're not actually together.
No, we're not. We're not. Things have moved on again. It's not, we haven't gone into lockdown. It's because we're so busy and we're spending so much time now going out to schools. We haven't got the time to travel to the office to do the podcast.
No, we haven't. And I think it's one of those things that we've tried to look at the diary and make sure we're together today to do this, but we just couldn't do it. So
no.
Otherwise we wouldn't have an episode going out on time and on your usual Wednesday morning. So apologies, you're going to have to put up with the slightly different audio for today.
Yes, but we're still, my email pinging in.
That's just the way it goes, Finn.
There you go, all turned
off. Right. Well, I don't forget, I'm back to being in the kitchen, so I've got the dog scratching at the door, so.
Excellent, so yeah, we're all sorted. It's currently Monday morning for us, but this obviously will go out on Wednesday. And I must admit, it's Monday morning and I've got the Monday morning slump going on.
Got the Monday morning blues.
Yes. But we will try and stay positive and upbeat. We have actually got quite a positive, upbeat podcast planned for today, haven't we?
We really have got a positive week ahead of us as well. So we've got lots of really nice things going on this week. And it is just Monday morning, isn't it?
It is. So today we're going to be super practical and we're going to look at a way that every school can make assessment in Curriculum for Wales work. And I think it's all very well and good to say Curriculum for Wales is a challenge and there are parts of Curriculum for Wales that are difficult, but we're going to look at how assessment can actually work and make a difference for pupils and support progress.
Yeah, and it's also that time of the year as well where, I know, GCSEs, the timetable has started in full today. I'm speaking as the parent of a child in year 11, so we've had all that trauma for the last couple of weeks. So he's gone off to school to start the slog this week. And I know we're going to talk about GCSEs within this podcast as well today, aren't we? So there is
Let's start with talking about what we're doing this week.
Yes, let's.
So we've got a super busy week. We've got lots of face-to-face, which is...
Well, we've already done one school already this morning, and here we are at 10 o'clock. We're on just to record the podcast, but we've got a face-to-face this afternoon down in Swansea, which is great, which is hence why we're apart today. Otherwise, it didn't make sense getting together.
And I think all the work that we're doing with schools, we're doing a lot of clusters and individual schools. In fact, we're doing two clusters and an individual school just this week on assessment, and they're all at slightly different stages, but we're doing similar but yet entirely bespoke things. But I think schools are really beginning to see a way through, aren't they? Well, certainly the ones that we're working with,
they are. And I think it just needs time, doesn't it, and it's not one of those things that you can rush, but it's getting that penny drop moment. And then I think once we get to that penny drop moment, this is how it's going to work, then schools are off and running.
And I think it was really interesting. Last week, we had a discussion with an assessment tracking company who have sent us some stuff that we're going to look at this week around how they are using their tracking tool to track progress in school. I think that's really interesting. Progress as opposed to standards. Really interesting seeing it all come together.
It is, and I know there's been quite a lot of discussion again on Facebook and on Twitter, and some of the discussions we had last week around, you know, what are we doing for tracking in September? And there's a lot of panic, you know, there's lots of discussion around what's happening with the foundation phase baseline. Is that going to be there in September?
That's a question, isn't it? And I know how many times have we been asked that question, and we just don't know.
Yeah.
Is it going to be replaced? But certainly the foundation phase baseline, there's no plans at the moment for it to be replaced. That their Welsh Government expectations are that schools may be, or clusters may be, creating their own. Yeah. But it's all up in the air, isn't it? So we've also got, we're going back to Peter Lee for primary for science of learning again.
Yeah.
Which obviously that underpins everything, pedagogy, curriculum and assessment. So
well, we're doing that one remote this time, aren't we? We've done a couple of face-to-face and we're doing another. So it's this hybrid way of doing professional learning, which I think is the way that we're going to be moving ahead, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And I quite like it like that way.
Yeah, I do as well. It's actually, it's a good work-life balance generally. But I must admit that the shift towards more face-to-face has meant that, because we didn't realise our working life had changed so much until it's already changed, in that we're doing so many more sessions, so many more sometimes shorter sessions, but in longer packets of work. And I think it makes it just more complicated keeping everything in your head. Where are you? What are you doing? Who are you talking to? What stage are they at?
What's been nice with the one cluster that we're working with is that, because there are 9 schools in the cluster, so it's a logistical nightmare trying to get everybody together at the same time.
Yeah.
So we had all the staff from every 9 schools were going to attend the remote session we did. But it was nice that there were 2 schools that turned around that they couldn't do it because they had other commitments, that it was recorded so they could access it when they could. Ready for the follow-up session. So
I think that adds so much value to the work that we're doing with schools, but I'm sure other organizations are doing that as well, is that it's not that kind of, you go in, you talk to people, you have that conversation, but the only memory they have of that is either in their head or on their piece of paper. We have now the option for that digital content to be available to go back to and to look at again, to reconceptualize what they've learned. And I think that links so nicely with what we have available on Impact Plus, is that there's so many resources and films and professional learning packs and sketch notes that schools can then go back and use as that aid memoir, as that opportunity to look at things again, but in a slightly different context.
I think as far as stress is concerned, though, it's much easier, isn't it? And it's less stressful to know that I'm part of this session, but something's come up. I'm going to miss the last 20 minutes of it, so I'm going to panic. Oh, all I need to go back and is just listen to the recording at a later date, so I don't need to get so stressed about.
Or even I'm sitting in this session, but I've had such a busy day that I've got.
I can't focus.
What was it that they just said? What did they just say? But you can go back and you can look at that section again and just remind yourself. And I think it makes sense at this point just to say to all of our listeners, we are going to talk about assessment in curricula for Wales again, but from a very positive, practical viewpoint. And we have so many resources on Impact Plus that help support this. But I wanted to just draw attention to a couple of resources, three sets of resources, just to help people realize where there is additional help. So we've got the Let's Talk Assessment series of films that we did last year with a number of practitioners. I'm not going to mention anybody involved, because if I mention one, I'll forget somebody else. But it's really teachers and leaders working in schools. We've got some academics as well, working in schools in Wales, and their take on things and lots of questions.
Well, that was a series of 3, wasn't it? Three sessions.
So, and you know, Let's Talk Assessment, what does it mean, what do the purposes mean, and all of those kinds of things. We've also got 2 professional learning films with workbooks that go with them, one on assessment and one on accountability, that are available on Impact Plus. We've also got the final thing is a little short film on how to design assessment and curriculum for Wales, which just gives you a couple of practical prompts of kind of do this in this order, which people might want to go and have a look at.
Yeah, and there's also other things on assessment which we could go on and on talk about, but I think those are the key things to start on, aren't they?
Okay, so the kind of the storyline for today is we're starting at the end. We kind of need to start at the end point in order to work our way back and say, well, what should it look like all the way through? And what prompted this was the fact that it is today the start of the GCSEs.
Yeah.
This is what started our thinking, wasn't it?
Well, I seem to be eating, sleeping and breathing GCSEs at the moment, because I've been involved in some of the national reference tests from back in February. So I seem to be in the zone. And obviously with my son going through GCSEs,
yeah,
you know, we're talking about it all the time. And I think we're in this no man's land at the moment, aren't we, about not knowing. There's lots of rumours flying around about, you know, what the result's going to be like this summer. And, you know, because we are somewhere between, you know, this another hybrid version, aren't we, of the CDGs and the teacher assessed levels. It's been something different. 2020, 21, 22, this is different again. And I know Qual Wales out on Friday, they announced that there's still going to be amendments made for next summer. So we're still not back to normal as it ever was, that, you know, there are going to be changes brought in to support learners for 2022-23 academic year. So I think that also involves November as well, with, you know, advance notice of content again. So, yeah. And I don't think that's happening in England from what I could gather on the weekend, which is quite interesting.
But this is the thing, that there's so much going on, and yeah, we've got a format of GCSEs that has tried to take that into account. But I think people maybe are viewing GCSEs, well, they are, for children, for the young people sitting them, the GCSEs are about the next stage in their learning, the next stage in their learning journey. Do they get access to what they wanted to or not? But the GCSEs are actually an opportunity for us to see. It's a measure of what's going on, how are learners coping, is what's going on in schools getting to the point where they need to be, you know, is it all fitting together like it should? And they are an opportunity to think about those things.
And I think you look at the disruption that our current year 11s have and our current year 10s, you know, they potentially would have had longer. It's more of a disruption, which I think hence the decision to make sure that there is some sort of recognition of that for them for next year. Because I know some of them are sitting exams now today as we speak in year 10. Mm. And I think it is just recognising that those pupils, they have had such a turbulent end of their formal schooling. But I think, and I'm judging from my son and his friends that, and my other colleagues that I've spoken to, that how year 11 have risen to the challenge. You know, they're
I think we need to recognise that it's we're saying all these very positive things that, you know, they have risen to the challenge, that, you know, teachers and parents and children and young people have all worked together to make the very best of the situation. But I think there is a feeling that COVID-19, the impact of COVID-19 is going to be here for at least a decade, if not longer.
Well, it's a generation of children, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think it would be remiss of us not to look at the results from GCSE in that light and say, okay, so we're in a slightly different format of the GCSEs again. And what can they tell us about things like what, you know, 80% attendance as opposed to 95% attendance is meant for children's learning, what the disruption to the learning has meant for, you know, the learning journey, the mental health challenges, readiness to learn and to self-study, and what can we actually do about it to actually view it. But we've got this Pod Look Day in Wales, and I must admit that I did retweet the Welsh Government Pod Look Day, and I think it is really important that we recognise that young people across the country are facing a significant challenge today, and they do absolutely deserve our support. But I think they deserve a little bit more than that as well. They deserve more than a good luck.
It all goes back to what we said last week about words matter, isn't it? I just found the good luck bit a little bit of a... Yeah.
It shouldn't really be luck, should it? It should be more than luck. It's, we're here to emotionally support you and recognise your challenges, but luck isn't really part of it, is it? It's crucial that we recognise how difficult it is for young people at the moment, but also, what do they need in the future?
Okay. So it's all we've different, got, isn't it?
There's quite a few things. This is before we get into the kind of what can we do about assessment in curriculum for Wales, and we are going to talk about it in detail. There were some really interesting resources that you noticed on Qualification Wales Power Up resources.
there's but this qualification, also WJEC, there's some walk, I think these were WJEC, they were walkthroughs for papers that pupils could go online and have a look through, just like, you know, teachers have been doing walkthroughs and those sorts of ideas. You know, walking, talking mocks as well were very, very popular for a while when you could get that number of pupils together. But there's these ideas that you can have a look at the some of the past papers, and they walk you through some of the solutions. And there's lots of revision questions. There's much more coming out of the exam boards now as far as revision for students is concerned than there ever has been.
Yeah, and I was thinking, I had a brief look through a couple of subjects just to kind of get a feel for what they are. There was some, they've got these series of knowledge organisers where they've got all of the knowledge that on each paper.
Yeah,
which really great. It has to be said, they would be a really good resource for teachers at the start of the course.
Yeah, they have been out a while though, because I do remember looking at those back in, it might have even been the summer, last summer.
Yeah, well, sure, I was going to say that as a teacher, I would want to be downloading those for my course and go, oh, okay, that's what they need to learn. So that's my knowledge organiser for my own teaching. I must admit, I really feel personally that knowledge organisers should inform teaching.
Yeah.
If you're using them for revisions, something's gone slightly wrong.
They're not quite should be called knowledge organisers, should they? Maybe should call something else.
They should maybe curriculum design. Anyway.
Yeah. Something.
So there's
also
blended digital learning lessons as well. Quite basic, but they're, you know, having this, they've done them at speed, so can't expect them to be absolutely brilliant all the way through. I'd be interested to know whether they're thinking about this new sort of set of resources and how effective those new set of resources are. You know, are they being used?
Mm.
Which ones are being used most often?
Yeah.
What kind of impact do they have? How do children?
Which ones are making a difference?
Which ones are making a difference? You know, measuring the impact. I think that'd be really interesting, because if they're going to spend lots of time and money on these things, it'd be nice to know whether they're actually having an impact.
I think we might be getting into the danger zone though of being, there are so many resources out there, so many revision guides and this walkthrough and that helpful PowerPoint or whatever. Where's the quality control about, let's make sure that students are using their time effectively by using the best and the most effective.
Rather than spending their time sifting through.
Yeah, which one am I going to look at? Or ones, or worse, ones that conflict. Yes. And give slightly different messages, which is an issue. Yes. So let's
don't want that. Okay, so we were going to talk today about assessment in Curriculum for Wales, and we wanted to talk about a kind of how to make it work, a practical discussion about, well, what does this mean and what would you do with this and why would you do it? And I think it makes sense to start with the idea of, well, what assessment actually is. And I know that sounds quite facile, kind of, oh, we know that, why do we need to even talk about that? But I think we don't. I think it's not happening, that understanding of what's the purpose of assessment, why do we actually use it, therefore informs how we would use it. So let's talk about that. Why would we use assessment in a school?
I think we're at the stage as well though, Finn, that schools tend to see, on some of those discussions that we've certainly had over the past, is that assessment is seen as this one thing, this one big thing that schools do, and it's not, and it's about thinking about how that materializes underneath that word assessment, isn't it?
Assessment arrangements. Every school should design their own assessment arrangements, like you were saying, like it is a one thing that they arrange and then assessment happens. And what we need to remember is that assessment is about knowing, is what you're doing in school enough, the right thing, having the impact that you want it to have on children's learning. So is assessment is actually an assessment of teaching and curriculum.
But I think it goes a little bit further than that as well, doesn't it? It's not just about knowing, it's about doing something. with that assessment.
Yes. So the whole point is the teacher decides what to teach. It has to start somewhere. It's a bit of chicken and the egg, but the teacher decides what to teach. Then we hope the learner actually learns something. Then the teacher has to decide, well, how am I going to gather evidence that learning has actually gone on? And that might be, it might be a question and answer session. It might be drawing a picture of your learning. It might be a formal test. It might be write an essay or any version of all kinds of different things that we were talking about. So the child or the young person then demonstrates their learning. And then the teacher makes an assessment of that demonstration. And it's the teacher making an assessment of that demonstration of learning that informs the next part on the cycle, which is back to the beginning again. The teacher decides what to teach. And it's that process. I know formative assessment is always, you know, that cycle, but it doesn't matter whether that assessment is formative or summative.
No.
That cycle is the same. You need to use assessment information in order to decide what to teach next.
And it's also, what is the point of assessing if you're not going to do something with?
Yes,
it is what you get out of it.
It's not a linear process.
I think we've all been in that situation teaching that, oh, there's an end of term test or whatever. We're going to do the end of term test. Right, okay, end of term, back onto next term. Have you done anything with what that assessment was? Maybe not, because you're already on the next term. And I think we need to break that cycle.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you look at the guidance for Curriculum for Wales, particularly to do with assessment, it is actually a very, very positive message. It is actually a really clear alignment with assessment for the purposes of progress, of deciding what to teach next so that children make progress, so that students, learners make progress. It's not about use assessment to see that you have covered the whole curriculum.
Yeah.
Or use assessment to see that you have evidence of the whole curriculum. It is all about progress, not standards.
Yeah.
And I think that is one thing that assessment in Curriculum for Wales does really, really well, is when you break down the language, words do matter. It is all focused on progress. And the point it's of not, that, sorry,
I was gonna say, it's not about assessment for collating data for somebody else.
No.
That's not the purpose of what we're talking about. It's about assessing progress for learning.
Absolutely. So if we take the word progress means change.
Mm.
It means that you can't stop where you are. You have to move on. So if progress is about change, it means making a change in terms of teaching. So you teach something different, or you teach it in a different way, or you do more of something that in order to get that change. So the teaching changes, the curriculum changes, and the pupil changes. So they actually make progress. They move on. They get to a next stage in their learning. That's been lost, I think, in a lot of these things. Yeah. I mean, how many schools have we been into and we said, right, what are your worries about assessment? The kinds of things they come up with when they say we're worried about assessment, things like, well, we'll do something, but I just want to know that what it is that we're doing in terms of assessment, how we're organising assessment at our school, is going to compare well with how we're going to organise assessment in another school.
We're still having those conversations, aren't we, that it's about how do we evidence that we've covered everything, and that's not what it's about.
Well, it's not assessment.
It's not. But it links to that, doesn't it? It's about this whole idea of you know, we've talked many, many times about providing space in your curriculum so you've got time to revisit learning, to adapt and to be responsive. But we still got that conversation coming back saying, well, but there's just so much to cover.
I mean, how many schools have we spoken to as well that, and through no fault of their own, we're not criticising the school, we're saying they're in a difficult situation where this is the expected thing to do. So you do the expected thing. But how many schools are in a situation where the expectation is they will plan their curriculum in detail for 2 years in advance?
Yeah.
But what happens if in the first week you assess children's learning and you think, oh, well, they're nowhere near where I thought they were? But what do you now? You haven't got room to
change.
But
it's even writing your lesson plans for the term or the next 2 weeks.
See, this is something I really struggle with, because throughout my teaching career, I actually never used to plan what I was going to do in a lesson until the night before the lesson.
Until after the day that you taught the previous lesson, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, yeah, personally, I kind of never do it until the night
before.
I know roughly what I do.
Yeah, I had an idea mapped out of, the sort of concepts and the things I was going to look at. But the actual, I do my one lesson. After that lesson, okay, all right, they're not there yet. So next lesson, I want to revisit that idea.
Absolutely.
Or
so you
they're fine with that. I'm going to move on. That was an interesting concept that arose that lesson. So I'm going to do a lesson on that.
Absolutely. So this is what assessment is. You need to have space in the curriculum to use the assessment to change.
To do that. Yeah.
And so that they can make progress. Because, if you, the progress cycle is you need to know, you need to know exactly what pupils are expected to learn. Because how can you have an accurate assessment if you don't know what it is that you're assessing? So it's no good saying, well, we're doing an enterprise project and they're going to be creating a product. And so I'm going to assess that. Because what's the learning? What is actually going on in people's heads whilst they're creating those products? I mean, it was a really interesting discussion actually we had with one of our costers. They said that we're going to do this enterprise product and they're going to create a product. So that's what we're going to assess. I said, well, yeah, but what's the learning? Which bit of it would you want them to take on and use in another context? And then we honed it down to the fact that they wanted pupils to really be able to calculate profit and loss. Because then it didn't really matter if they created their product, took it to market and it failed. It was the learning was, why has it failed or where has it failed? And the profit and loss was the actual learning that they wanted. I just want to give you another example here because I think it's really interesting. Work we did with a school in Bridgend probably about 6 months ago now. We were talking about assessment in their curriculum and they were talking about creating a marketing leaflet for a new leisure facility, like a theme park or something like that. And we were talking about pupils creating the leaflet and setting it out, putting pictures in and using the language and all of those kinds of things. I said, yeah, but what are you actually assessing? What's the bit that you want them to learn? So this whole project had been persuasive language, which is a really common exercise in year seven. But the pupils had spent such a long time thinking about how they were going to lay out their leaflet, where the pictures were going to be, the colours they were going to use. And it took a long time. I said, well, why couldn't you just give them a template? And because if it's a language that's really important and where they put the language, that's the bit that they should be spending the time on, not the actual creation of the leaflet. And I think this is where, if you get the learning objective really clear, it can change the curriculum. It can change what you do. It can change the way you do it. It can give you more time.
Yeah, that's the crucial thing, isn't it?
Learning.
It's be very focused on what assessment can I do that will actually pinpoint and assess directly against what it is I'm trying to teach.
Absolutely. So if you have a really clear idea of what the learning objective is, then you also have a really clear idea of how pupils will demonstrate their learning.
Yeah.
So it might have been in that situation with the leaflet for the theme park. Actually, what might have been a much more effective assessment tool might have been some sentence work on persuasive writing.
Yeah.
Or, write me a short paragraph. Because, they could, if they were doing it as an art project as well, then there's a point to it. There's a point to actually creating. But
it's quite a skill as well, being able to go back and think about, what is my key learning objective? And how is what I'm doing actually going to assess that directly? Or am I assessing something slightly different? Because I've been writing some a whole bank of multiple choice questions for numeracy. Mm. And quite often I'd have to go back and refine my questions. Because I think, well, actually, I'm not really testing what the description is that I'm trying to write a question for is something that's slightly different. And I think it's that going back and forensically looking about, does your assessment really marry up with what you're trying to teach? Yeah, and I think that sometimes we haven't got that right.
Absolutely. If we're thinking of a better system than levels as well, then we've got a system now in Curriculum for Wales that enables us to really develop the learning in an area that pupils actually need, rather than saying, well, you need to fit into this best fit and you could have, you know, sort of 60, 70% of these skills, but we're missing out on a crucial one, but you can still move on to the next level.
Let's assess the right things.
Absolutely. Because you're looking for those gaps, those mismatches against the learning objective in order to say, right, this is what they actually need. And then changing your curriculum, your pedagogy in order to do that. Because the end point of that cycle, there's no end point of a cycle. Just saying that to myself. Oh my goodness. I don't know what to call it now. The like, culmination of the steps prior to it in order to move on to the next one, that's about right, is change.
It's like the trigger, isn't it?
Yeah, the trigger for the next cycle. There you go. Thank you, Jane. A numeracy specialist telling me.
Hello, I've been watching All Me Feels the Horses this weekend, that's why.
Yeah. So change is for progress. Changing what is taught, changing how it is taught. Because if we're looking at what research tells us about learning and how that links with assessment, then we can go back to Barack Rosenshine and his principles of effective instruction. Because he talked about, in order to ensure learning is really assimilated, that learning is taken on by the learner and they really do change their understanding of something, you need to look at 80% success before you can move on.
Yeah.
You know, it's not feasible to be thinking about for a particular class 100% success. That would be ideal. You know, that was what you want. But if we aim for 80% success, but 80% success, that needs to be across the curriculum. That needs to be across all
year groups. Right, from day one.
From year one, in every set of learning that you do. Now, it'd be really interesting to discuss with staff whether their current curriculum allows them to do that, because I suspect that it wouldn't allow them.
I suspect we're still on a coverage.
Yeah. Even those curricula where they're thinking about really clear learning objectives, how often could you say, oh my gosh, well, they just didn't get that at all. So we need to do something completely different. I mean, it was interesting. I was writing a session for something that we're doing later on this week. And we'd set a homework task in order to elicit evidence of learning. And the homework task, well, it wasn't where we wanted it to be. They hadn't got the thing we wanted them to get. So in fact, the next session is an additional session on the first set of learning that we were doing with this particular
learner. We've been responsive in what we planned.
Yes, we've thrown out the second session and gone, no, we need to do another of the first session in a different way in order to get the learning there. And I think that it'd be really interesting to see whether you are getting 80% success on those key learning objectives. We're not talking every single tiny little learning objective, which is also a problem,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's that, what's the key learning in this particular context? You know, have they really understood the purpose of punctuation? They might not be absolutely sorted on a semicolon, but have they got the purpose of punctuation before you do the next thing, the additional content, rather than making sure that learning is there?
Well, I know the one thing we're talking about with the cluster this afternoon is about identifying what those overarching, those key learning objectives are, not so much the granular ones, the ones that you do by just a quick question to the class or by observing on how they, you know, those little mini steps. But it's about identifying those overarching, because I think we're still in the frame of mind of the old tick box. There's so many objectives that have to be met, you know, by pupils. It's not about that. It's not about those smaller ones. It's about identifying what the bigger picture is, the bigger learning objectives. Those are the key things that I really want to make sure I've got assessed and I've got sorted before we move on. So it's not about having hundreds of things to do to assess in that way.
No, and I was a little bit distracted there because you were talking about something. I had a thought and now it's disappeared and it'll have to come back again.
Because I've taken you off tack for as I always do.
No, but this is it. The making sure that you have those overarching learning objectives, yes, that you are assessing and getting 80% success on before you move on. And I just remembered what it is.
There you go.
Because in Curriculum for Wales, our podcast last week was talking about the mandatory and statutory, the musts and shoulds. And one of the elements of Curriculum for Wales is only a should. And I say only a should, because if you have a very, very good reason why you are not teaching a progression step 3 description of learning to a child, then you can do that. And this is what we mean about moving learning on. There is no point in teaching a description of learning for a progression step that a learner is not able to access because their prior learning is too far below that. So we now have in Curriculum for Wales, we now have the opportunity to create a curriculum that is absolutely based on learners' needs and doesn't move on until they're ready. So the content needs to be progressive, needs to be 80%,
yeah,
if we're going to use what the research tells us are the best bets, assimilated, understood, learnt, before we move on to new content. But also, if we're going to get 80% success, we don't just want to change what we teach pupils so they get it. We want to change how we teach them so they get it. Because, I mean, looking back on some of the ways that I taught, I want to tell a little story. I know the stories. But right at the beginning of my teaching career.
Is it a math story, Finn?
It's not actually a math story. It's a language story. Right at the beginning of my teaching career, I was 21 and I wasn't even really sure I wanted to be a teacher at this point. And I'd gone across to Greece and I taught English as a foreign language. And I'd had a 4-week training course on how to teach before I went. That was all I had. So I had 4 weeks of teaching before I went. I went over to Greece to teach English as a foreign language in these private language schools, and I had a textbook in front of me. I also had some six-year-olds in front of me, and I talked to the textbook. And after 1 week, I got called down to the center school, the big boss, I can't remember her name, Sonia, I think it was, and she tore me off a strip. How could you? And I was terrified, you know, it's how they did it in Greece, tore me off a strip. You've got to do something more interesting. They're not interested in their learning. They're not learning. It's awful. So terrified. And I went away and I realized that actually it wasn't that they weren't interested. It was that I wasn't using pedagogy that actually worked. They weren't learning. That was the issue. I was using the textbook. And I then started creating all of my own flashcards and we started doing lots of retrieval practice. I didn't realize it was retrieval practice at the time, I hasten to add. But we started doing lots of retrieval practice, lots of games, lots of, you know, dual coding, all this kind of business. And it was highly effective pedagogy that made the difference. They then started learning. They started making progress. My boss was happy with me, but also the children were happier to be in the lesson. And I think it's really important that if we're thinking about progress, we're thinking not just content, but we are thinking about
pedagogy.
And that's what assessment can tell you, that you can. I could have spent the whole year going, no, well, I'll teach from the textbook. I'll just do more of the same and more of the same and more of the same. But if it's not the right thing for the learners, or it's not having the effect you want it to.
But it is like those concepts that pupils find really difficult and you think you teach it and they just don't get it.
Yes.
So you've got to go back and think of a different way. You know, maths in particular, I mean, I can think of loads of topics that you teach and you just think, no, the penny hasn't dropped. I can remember teaching 3D Pythagoras and trig.
Oof.
And well, and I'm not exactly a great artist on the board. And I just thought, no, these just aren't doing it. And until we got some boxes out and the string in the middle of the box, and they, and they could see where the right angle triangles were. And it was thinking about the way that you approach things makes an awful lot of difference.
Yeah.
Because it's not the concept, it's just how you approach it with those pupils and present it to the pupils, isn't it?
Yeah, because they need to make the connections with what they already know. For example, a really good example in language learning is if you're introducing a new word or concept and you're using language that they don't know to describe it, of course they're not going to get it. So you need to try a different way. And it's thinking about how can you change your curriculum, change the approach that you take.
Yeah.
And the assessment tells you that. It tells you when you need to do that. Because if you don't have pupils mastering that overarching learning objective, if you've got, you know, pieces of writing where they're coming back without punctuation in them and they're not controlling the sentences, or, you know, they're not answering the mathematic question or whatever it happens to be, how you would expect, then it's doing something about it. And I think we need to think about learning objectives, because if we're thinking about assessment, we have to think about what is it that pupils need to be able to do or understand or know, in what context and how well. And the descriptions of learning don't do that.
No. Well, we're not assessing against descriptions of learning anyway, are we?
No.
Or we shouldn't be.
No, we're using them as a guide to show us what learning we need to create. So if you've got a description of learning that says pupils should understand what they've read, well, that's going to be very dependent on what is it that they're reading. You know, a learning objective that goes back can tell me the story of the fairy tale that we read last lesson. You know, using a standardized test in order to show how pupils are progressing is an important tool, but it doesn't show you the gaps necessarily. It doesn't show you the what they're missing. It just gives you a standardized score, and that is really important. I mean, there's real value in standardized scores,
and it's not assessing what you're teaching. It's not assessing your curriculum. It's just assessing that generic group of skills for those pupils against everyone else across the country, isn't it? But it just gives you that opportunity to start to triangulate some of the information that you've got.
So, but the standardized test is a tool that could be used in schools in Wales to help with assessment, couldn't it? Because you've got the assessing the curriculum that you've taught and then changing the curriculum or changing the pedagogy in order to improve that. But you've also got, if you used a standardized test, the national test goes some way to doing that, but there are commercial products out there that, you know, that allow you to have a standardized test on skills. They would give you that comparison to know that your children are, your learners are actually operating comparatively well in comparison with the rest of the nation.
It's your link to schools outside yours.
Isn't it?
So you've got your internal curriculum that you're developing as a school, but it also gives you that a little bit of a, not so much of a sense check, but that link to say, it's just what a heads up to say, well,
because this is one of the things that I think schools and education is generally struggling with in Wales, is the idea of comparison. And actually assessment, it can perform that task of comparison, but that's not its primary task, which is to support progress. In Curriculum for Wales says assessment is all about supporting progress, but you would want to compare in order to, just like you say, get that measure of, but how are we doing?
It's like something like the PASS, which isn't necessarily linked to your
GL assessment tool, PASS.
GL assessment PASS. It's about pupils' perceptions of how they're doing at school and how they feel about school. And I think that's such a powerful thing as well, just to look, because how many schools have we worked with that they've done, we keep saying that, don't we? How many schools have we worked with? That they've done the PASS and it comes back and it's all lovely and green. And then you think, it might be green in your school, but in comparison to everywhere else, you look at your percentages, look how, you know, pupils in your school might not feel as positively about schools as they do about another school. So there is an issue, but it's about digging deep and just having that heads up to see what's going on elsewhere.
Yeah, and it's recognising that a standardised test tells you where you are on a kind of scale, doesn't it?
That
it's national scale.
Yeah.
But you can never get to that point where everybody is above average.
No. So, was it Michael Gove that famously said about he wants all schools to be above average?
It's meaningless to a certain extent to say, well, look, these are our scores for our pupils. We want to improve the scores. No, this all the scores do you is you tell you where you are in comparison with other schools in the nation. And there may be a very good reason why your school happens to be below average, or your pupils in that year group happen to be below average.
Yeah.
Maybe they've come from a very low starting point, or maybe there's been a big shift in your pupil mobility, or, you know, various different reasons. But that national comparison gives you an opportunity to understand what's going on and to pick out points to say, well, okay, so the expectation for these pupils is they should be operating comparably, you know, they should be at or above average. So if they're not, why not? Let's look at the assessments within our curriculum to understand what's going on.
It's about flagging up those questions, those lines of inquiry. I hate that phrase, but it is about a line of inquiry to say, you know, what is going on here? Is there something going on? Or was it just that particular day that that group of people sat that test? Because we all know it's all down to how those people are performing on that particular day.
So if we were to kind of sum up how to make curriculum for Wales, the assessment within curriculum for Wales work, it would be these things. One, start with pupils' needs, then design the learning objectives, these overarching clear learning objectives with an active
for your curriculum.
Yeah, for your whole curriculum, and ensure that 80% you get an 80% success rate on each of those learning objectives. And that has to happen through a really effective assessment.
But it's also not about setting hundreds of learning objectives.
No, it's about
identifying and priority learning objectives.
Yeah, because this is the thing. This is the thing with assessment is it gives you a steer.
Yeah.
You're never, ever going to be able to assess accurately all of the things people's no understanding.
Because you'd never have time to teach it, would you?
No. So you need to, assessment is only ever like a steer towards, an insight into what's next. It's never the whole story. So you start with people's needs, set clear learning objectives that address those needs, ensure there's 80% achieve them through assessing those learning objectives. Then you'd redesign the pedagogy or you redesign the curriculum content in order to support progress, but also use standardized tests to check that comparative progress, to have that double check. Because the bottom line is, you need to know, is what we're doing good enough?
Mm-hmm.
So assessment is about what's happening in school. It's not as much about, you know, placing a judgment on the learner.
Mm.
Has to be said, I know of schools that give the learner a grade when they enter the school, what's called a global grade when they enter the school, and that global grade follows them throughout the school. Mm. And that doesn't feel like that is assessment then of the curriculum or the pedagogy. That feels like it's assessment of the learner.
Yeah.
And I think that's really quite problematic. So we need to focus in on assessment being about progress, being about change.
Hmm.
So there you are. That's assessment in curriculum for Wales done. Tick. Move on.
I'm sure we'll come back to assessment again, as we have done many a time, Finn, because we've got quite, if you're interested in talking about assessment, is we've done lots of podcasts in the past on this, so you might want to go back and have a look at some of the previous, but we still come back to the same points, don't we?
Well, they are our most most popular podcasts, I think, because it's such a thorny issue. It is such a problem because there's so much involved in it. But we've got lots coming up over the next week, haven't we? We're going to have a focus on our podcast, slightly different focus this term as well. We're going to look at emotional and mental well-being post COVID-19 lockdowns.
Yeah.
Because I think we're all struggling a little bit.
Yeah. We've done lots of podcasts, haven't we, on Curriculum for Wales? And I know we will still touch on that as we're talking about well, but I think well-being is and should be, it's as important as everything else. And I think
if you don't get it right,
yeah,
if you don't get it right, you can't do anything else.
So we've got some really interesting guests lined up to speak to as well.
We have.
That, you know, might help with our well-being as well.
Okay, we're doing some work on the science of learning. We've got assessment and curriculum contracts. We've got a very interesting curriculum contract where we're writing the curriculum for a foreign country, which is really exciting. We've got our second Using Grammar to Make a Difference writing film that's going to be coming soon. It's been written. We just need to record that. And it's our birthday soon.
It's our birthday. Woo-hoo! Our seventh birthday.
Yes.
Lucky old seven.
Yeah. So we're going to give people an opportunity to win membership to Impact Plus. But we were going to announce a really interesting, I think we'll announce it next week, a competition specifically to do with our podcast. So if you listen to our podcast, you have to listen to the next one to find out what the competition is. So listen out.
So we will see you again soon. Yes. So take care.
Bye now.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to make sure you don't miss future episodes. You can find us online at www.impact.wales. You can also follow us on social media. On Twitter, we're at Impact Wales. On Facebook and Instagram, search for Impact Wales. And on LinkedIn, search for Impact School Improvement.